Sydow says that delusion is always present in the mind. Can you explain that a little bit further?
So this says that naturally we the mind, even when we are born, is born is already has the delusion of wrong view. We're born with that delusion, and then as we grow, you know, the concept of I and all is introduced. It's not that we don't have it when we're young, we're just not able to express it or anything, but quickly the mind takes it on easily because it has delusion. Yeah, so that delusion is ever present in the mind. This not seeing and knowing things as they are. It's only when we're older, he says, that we have the opportunity to learn and then try to work off the delusion, to develop a different point of view.
Now, quite related to this, I would like to clarify a sort of interpretation I have of mindfulness. My understanding is that either there is mindfulness or there is no mindfulness. On the latter part, namely that no mindfulness, there are no degrees of this is my interpretation. I'm seeking clarification on that. So either there is mindfulness,
or there is not.
Mindfulness, or no. There are no degrees, no half or so. Either a woman is pregnant or not pregnant.
Not yet.
And also, now, then the incidental question to this is how to recognize what is the distinction between mindfulness and no mindfulness? I seem to have an answer, but and it is that when there is mindfulness, I would know it.
Yes.
I would recognize it. Okay. Is that in line with the teaching?
Okay. ไปจี้ดุโลเว้ยไปจี้จี้ไม่จี้จี้จ๋าจ๋าบ่ရှိဘူးเนเน่จี้ดาပဲမျက်ချီရမရှိဘူးဆိုတော့จี้ရဲ့ဘောမရှိဘူးအဲ့တော့ဒုတိယရှိတယ်မဟုတ်ဘူးလုံးဝမရှိဘူးဈာထဲမှာတတိเนเน่ရှိတာလို့တဝက်ရှိတာလို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးမရှိဘူးလို့သူအယူဆမှာဟိုကအဲ့လိုထင်နေတယ်အဲ့ဒါလည်းဦးဇင်းရှင်းပြပါတယ်အဲ့ဒီဘေကောကလည်းဒုတိယသူကဘာပြောလဲဆိုတော့အဲ့တော့တတိရှိတယ်မရှိဘူးပဲဒီနှစ်မျိုးပဲရှိတ
ဒီကဟိုတတိလုံးကမရှိကြလည်းရှိတယ်လေ။ဘာညာနာတောင်ပြညာနာဝိညာနာဉာဏ်နဲ့မရှိတာ။တတိယရှိတယ်။ဒါနဲ့ကွာလီကြီးမကောင်းဘူး။ဥဒ္ဒါတတိပဋ္ဌာန်ကဒီတတိကိုအားကောင်းအောင်စတတိကုသပေးပြီးတော့ဥဆောင်ပြီးတော့တကဒါကွာလီကြီးကိုအားကောင်းအောင်သူတို့အားထုတ်တယ်။မှန်ပါဗျာ။ကွာလီကောင်းအောင်လုပ်လို့ပေါ့။ဒါစေတသိက်တွေကစိတ်နဲ့အမြဲရှင်နေတာ။အမြဲရှင်နေတာ။အကုန်လုံးမရှိဘူး။တချို့စေတနဲ့
အဲ့တော့သူမေးတော့အဲ့တော့တတိရှိတဲ့မရှိဘူးဆိုတော့သူမေးကုန်ကြတော့ရှိတယ်လို့ပြောရှင်တဲ့ကအမြင်ရှင်းလိုက်မရှင်းလိုက်စိတ်ထဲမှာတတိရှင်းလိုက်မရှင်းလိုက်အဲ့ဒါဆိုတတိဖြစ်နေချင်တတိကောင်းတူတူထင်တဲ့
Not in that sense. I mean, theoretically, mindfulness is sati. Okay, sati is a chittasika. Is a
mental condition.
It's a quality of, because the mind is made up of different qualities, yes, chittasikas, and for every wholesome mind that occurs, sati is always present. Without sati, there is no wholesome mind. When there's a wholesome mind, there is definitely sati. So if you think of mindfulness in that way, then sati is always present in a wholesome mind. In an unwholesome mind, sati is not present. And it is also only in a mind that has sati, therefore kusala mind, that jnana, which is wisdom, can also become a concomitant. So a wisdom quality in the mind can only also exist in the coexist in the mind when there is kusala and sati. This is, I don't know if this is goes into Pali again. When we are born, we are supposed to be born with either three roots or two roots. It is possible for someone to be born with without the third root. So the three roots are non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. If someone is born without the non-delusion, that person cannot develop great wisdom in this life. Yeah. So, but if you're born with all three roots, then, and generally everybody in this sort of situation is, if you're born with the three roots, he says, then sati would be present in the mind because that person has the non-delusion factor in the mind. But the degree to which that
sati,
you would call it a latent factor, a latent condition in the mind, the wisdom and the sati, but it may to you. You don't know to which degree is developed in each mind. So for some people it might be quite developed, for some of us it's not so developed. And so it's in this life when we practice that what we're doing is developing that quality in the mind so that it becomes the more more present condition in the mind. And then he says, when you talk about whether it's present or not, right? You ask whether mindfulness is just present or just not present. He said, everybody has some awareness. Everybody. But he says, whether the framework of understanding that supports the awareness, what is the view through which the awareness works, that is different. That differs in people. He says, so someone who has been exposed to the Buddha Dharma would have that view through which they see things with awareness, whereas if somebody was not exposed to the Buddha Dharma, then they might have awareness of themselves, but the view might be quite a different view. Yes, so that the view is the panya, is the wisdom.
Yeah.
ဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ်လိုလဲဘယ
say you're driving and a car passes by. He said, do you know? I mean, and you know the car passes by. He says, does that mean you have awareness? And yes, there's awareness, but what kind of awareness? Mm. And then here the quality differs. He says, anybody would know that a car has passed by or some other experience. Yeah? Anybody can know an experience. But how do we know that we have experienced something? It's through the sense doors. We see, we hear, we feel. After that, we give it meaning, we interpret. Then we know what, then we have named the experience. Yes? But he says, everybody has this kind of awareness. They get to the point of giving it meaning, so they know the experience. And that's normal awareness. But a meditator, someone who has been exposed to the Buddha Dharma, then knows that the mind has, this is what the mind has done. This is what the mind has experienced. Mind has experienced seeing, hearing, and the mind has given it meaning. These are the functions of the mind. And that's the difference with the view. Yes, the wisdom, the understanding.
But meditator awareness about nimati, chamati, vidamati, what they believe, following.
So the meditator understands that seeing has happened, hearing has happened, and the mind has given meaning.
So knowledge is the object of the mind. So knowledge is the object, the sense is the eye, the sense is the mind.
So first, if we don't have the theoretical knowledge of this, so first we need theoretical knowledge and understanding that when there's an experience, every experience is a combination of two parts. It's the object and the mind, the known and the knowing. Yes? And when you have that understanding and you practice, then that's how you see an experience as, you know, what is seen or what is being known and what is knowing. And these two come together and work to give you the experience of awareness. Otherwise, we're just left with the experience and its meaning, that we have experienced something without understanding the process that is part, that leads to that experience. Yes?
Yes. Do these sense doors have any role to play in the coming about of that awareness or that awareness, that wisdom, is quite independent of the role that the sense doors play.
Kala yatana jam, the di piyase ra la mahoe, the diya tuha tata.
Tata. Tata is like a knowing my own chilu ya, in this same of chilu.
He says,
the diya kwa maya, the nyanshi ma, kwa me ma, the diya ha kao ma.
He says, the sense doors, all sense input
consciousness
gives rise to consciousness, which is what they call like eye consciousness, ear consciousness. There's just a bare consciousness of the experience, but he says there's not the recognition of the experience, which is what we would call sati. Mm. And then, yes. So whenever there's sense contact, there's a consciousness that arises. So a sense consciousness is already known, but it's when we become conscious of that, when we recognize that there this consciousness has arisen of seeing or hearing, that's when sati happens. That's what we are calling sati. He says, and what we want to do is develop that. Mm-hmm. That is weak in us. We don't have this recognition of all experience as it comes to us.
Dhamma,
ဒီကိုရောခုနကတတိအကောင်းကောင်းပါမှုတရားပဲ။ဒီရှိရဲ့ကျင့်ရဲ့အကောင်းအောင်လေ့ကျင့်ပြီးမှာနောက်ပိုင်းကျရင်တတိအကောင်းကြီးကောင်းလာရင်နောက်သူတတိအမြင်နဲ့ရှိလာ။
Yeah. So he's saying that there are degrees of mindfulness in the strength of your how present your mindfulness is, how much it manifests in your mind, how much more you have it or less you have it in a day. So there is that degree of mindfulness.
Yeah.
He says in the beginning we just try to use, you know, how much awareness we have, and then we take the, you know, the knowledge that we've learned from books and siyadas and all that, and we try to be mindful with it. As we practice mindfulness, our own understanding grows. Our understanding about what we're experiencing, our understanding about how we're practicing and how our practice affects our experience and so on. When these understandings grow, they become part of the support for our mindfulness. And then you can say, when there's some of our own developed wisdom supporting our awareness, you can see that the awareness is stronger. Yes? And then it continues the process. You continue to be aware in that way. Yeah. You continue to be aware in that way, and then you learn more lessons. Right? And then they become part of your developed wisdom, which makes the awareness stronger. So there's this sort of momentum that carries itself over again. And then if you sustain your practice over a long period of time, he says some of this developed wisdom becomes really innate. It becomes your innate wisdom. And then you'll notice that whenever you have awareness, all those things that you understood yourself are the lenses through which the awareness sees already. Yeah? You don't have to call them up anymore, remind yourself, they are the way that you see things.
Okay.
Yes?
Do you mind read the question to us?
Okay.
English will do this.
Yeah. She said yesterday when I... can I do that after I've translated to Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wrong,
isn't it? It might be. Tu ane ne na li la ki, ero tu kama ma cha re. So, te cha ma cha la yu, tu te na thang bo cho za re, da me ma ya u re. Ero se ka ten la re, a tui re ya ike la re, da me tu ting de re, ni lo pien de re, sa ra. Da bro, u se e yin wa, te be re ha re, ma mi de re, a yin wa, a yin me jiu, se ka mi, a yin me jiu. Ero tu wa, a ta u na thang bo cho za ra, tu lai de, sho lai de. Na thang jine se ko tu, ยักกูจูซ่าเลยชอบกูจูซ่าเลยเนาะだめสิกะมะเหน่งลาอูเรชอบแล้วกูก็ชอบกูเวจูซ่าจูซ่าเนี่ยแล้วก็ไม่อยากดิだめเอลอจูซ่าเนี่ยสิกะเมียนไล่แต่ နောက်ပြန်စိတ်ကပြန်တင်းတယ်တဲ့အမ်ပြန်တင်းတယ်အရန်တင်းလာတယ်တဲ့သူပြန်လက်ခံလိုက်တယ်တဲ့သူပုံမှန်နေစဉ်ဆိုရင်တဲ့သူအမြဲတုခါရောက်တယ်တဲ့သူသူမကြဘူးစိတ်ဒုက္ခရောက်တယ်တခါကလေးသူလူတွေစကားပြောတာအချမ်းနေတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဘာပြောနေမှမသိဘူးတဲ့အတမဲချတယ်
Dhamma adebra on the field, but arrow two may go on. Takari to the below, Badabian in jar, Takari in the jar, beyond it, I did not know never. Arrow two, Nali Lumajara, Mahoy to think not how Jillo, think charging Lumajara. Okay, so I'll read the question. She says, yesterday when she heard the instructions at 2 p.m., she was trying to listen, but she's slightly deaf. She's slightly hard of hearing, so she couldn't hear. At first, she tried to strain, but it didn't work. And then her mind became tense, and she started, you know, thoughts were beginning to come up. She was aware of it, then she remembered what Ciara said before about the object not being important and the mind being important. So she tried to let go of the sound, tried to stop wanting to hear, but the mind wouldn't calm down until she recognized that it would only happen if she stopped wanting to hear. And she realized this recognition sort of happened twice, and she heard clearly for a while, and then the mind became tense again. And then she accepted it again. So she was going through this. She says in normal life, normally she says she often has this problem with her hearing. She hears people talking, but she doesn't recognize what they're saying. She hears the sound, but sometimes she doesn't get the meaning because she has a problem with being hard of hearing. So her question is, sometimes she hears me translating and it's clear, and sometimes it's not clear, even though I'm speaking at the same speed. She said, is it because she's hard of hearing? Or because she wants so badly to hear properly that is impeding her ability to hear? Ciara says probably a bit of both.
What problem I am?
Both.
For both, for deaf or
a little and bit and
one. You pop piano, you pop piano, you angelo, a channel, a long time. Dame, I have a situation, yani, bosu.
He says, as far as physically, you know, hearing impairment. Physically, when the ear is hard of hearing, he says, you can't help that. You can't help how much you don't hear from that. But when the mind is agitated because it's worried about this, the agitation makes it harder to tune carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then it becomes worse than it actually is. So, but if you train your mind to always be calm, not worried about this, then he says, as much as your ear is able to receive, you will hear it clearly. As much as your ear is able to, if you're calm. So he says, how you want to practice is to watch your mind every time you talk and when you hear. Just watch your mind. So if you watch your mind a lot, you'll see the tension and all, you'll understand how to calm it down. Then you can maintain the calmness so that you can hear to the best of your ability. If you are not worried about how much you can hear or what you can hear, he says you'll be able to hear better. He says also, when you are listening, when you're trying to listen to something, he says, don't put your attention to the object. Because, for example, I'm speaking and you think the sound is coming from me, he says, don't put your attention to me. Because actually, what you hear is in your ear. So it's just not skillful yet. Just keep practicing. Just keep practicing, you'll get better and better. And when you keep your mind inside you, he says that's when you hear best what is happening inside you, which is the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He says the whole world is actually only in our six sense doors, at our six sense doors. It's not out there. We experience everything in our world, in our six sense doors.
Direct experience, six sense doors.
Yeah, what we directly experience is only the six sense doors.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. Like when we think, you know, we've heard a bird far away, he says the sense of distance is a concept imposed by the mind. Yes? It's a. But what we experience is only the sound that comes here. Whether it's loud or soft, everything is just at the sense door. When we do continuous practice, we will have experience of the degrees of, you know, knowing. In the beginning, when we hear things, we experience the hearing of things outside. We think it's outside. We feel the distance. We think it's far away. But when the awareness becomes more established, you will start to feel that the hearing is happening just very near to you, maybe in your ear or very close to you, because you feel the reality of the sense contact. And if you with continued practice, you can even experience that the experience is actually being known in the mind.
Can I practice for listening in my ear, not forget the listening,
right.
Just practice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can.
Stay with you. I try that.
Yeah,
try. The sound comes to you.
I understand. Okay. More difficult to practice.
More difficult. Second question. Sika ayomina kamare. Sika ayemiamia po hope cho ayemia bima atese ka nama tiga la re. Upamare. Sika di nyetu maro ni ne. Asamare. Oh ayam ba mi ne. Era pi kanza mu la re. Sika nyin chan ne ayam mu mi ne. And then that up me sika the net po chijin in it. Oh, a tasty po chijin, I'm a young river, so pinna, yan in it. Mace nya balasro, diha, yinet the bola, tinya lar.
Young yinna, how tinya, gumolo.
So the question, when mind is seeing objects, is the mind, she asks, is the mind quickly recognizing the whole picture first and after that? The mind is seeing details. She says, for example, when the mind is seeing or looking at a weed, it sees the weed with the color green, then the feeling is coming, then feelings are coming next. It's calm, it's seeing the color, it's more green, and then the mind wants to go further into the details, but it cannot because everything is happening so quickly. So her question is this the nature of seeing or perception? In any experience, Yadda says there are four namakandas, right? There's the vijnana, the consciousness, the feeling, the perception, and the sankhara. He says, and all of these always happen.
They just,
the moment there's a contact, because mind is there, these four functions of mind are already there. They're just doing it already. The difference is how much we are able to know, because it's our wisdom. It's wisdom that recognizes each of these functions. It's wisdom that recognizes this part is consciousness, this is feeling at work, this is perception at work. This is volition at work. But if you know, you can be aware, but you may not be aware of you may not have the wisdom to recognize each of these functions, but that's all right. Whatever you recognize, that's what you do. And in this case, you asked whether it's seeing or perception, it's both. So whatever the mind has the ability to recognize, that's enough. You know that's what it is.
Yeah.
The mind is always doing all its functions. All the functions are always working. But your awareness and your wisdom determines how much of that you will recognize at each. Depending on your practice. So we just have to keep practicing so that wisdom grows. So first there's the object, then there's the knowing of the object, then there's the understanding that there's the knowing, then understanding of the nature of the object, knowing pair, and then when you begin to understand the nature, now this becomes a very funny word, nature.
Sabhava,
it is the fundamental nature.
Yeah.
The fundamental nature of this this
object.
Object and mind, this experience, whatever. Yeah, that becomes a wisdom. That is a wisdom that sees the fundamental nature of these things. But otherwise, it's just words. Sounds theoretical. Yeah. But when you have an understanding into the fundamental nature and truth of this experience, then you see it differently. You realize this is just what is happening. It's not me He says, initially when we observe things, when we are aware of things, he says, it's always the concepts that we are first aware of. It's just that. So we can allow ourselves to know the concepts and remember the theory that we've learned. This is supposed to be object, there is a mind that's aware of it. What is known right now is the conceptual nature of what is being known. And you remember that and you investigate. So you always remember this is what's being known, this is what is knowing. And as you investigate, at some point, sometime, the mind might actually realize that this is how it is. When the mind realizes it, that's when it becomes part of your arsenal of wisdom.
If the object is the nature, the wisdom can see more detail, is it?
Yes, more detail, understanding the detail.
What do you mean by detail?
With the same object, but we can see more detail. Is it?
Relationship. The alone that part that the alone do not like. Necessary the alone who we see here in the line down here.
So, just want to explain what you mean by detail and what Seattle means by detail. When we talk about detail in our daily practice, we think about detail as in we think we are knowing more things. Actually, which is more concepts, we start to recognize this is perception, this is all that a bit theoretically, but we start to recognize these functions at work, this nature at work in our mind, and we think of that as detail. But when there is an understanding, because your question is when you know that object is nature, so assuming that you're talking about a Dharma understanding, when you understand this is the nature, the fundamental nature of object is so, when you understand, when you have that sort of understanding, Seattle says, yes, there is detail, but not like we were talking just now. Everything that level of wisdom is able to understand, okay? Whatever, because even when we understand something, we don't understand 100% immediately, right? Say if you understand 6% of the nature of understanding, just then he says, as much as your wisdom is, that's how much the mind will understand about everything concerned with the nature of the object. If your understanding was 60%, that's how much you will understand about everything concerning the nature of the object.
But I understand what Sayadaw meaning, but I think for my nature, I recognize for first time, like the, my question number two, for about nature, but I see more detail, but before the detail, like the nature, not the concept. I mean, like this, very quickly, short time, for continue for nature.
Okay.
I mean, like this, I don't know what, what I'm saying.
Yeah. သူကကောင်းကောင်းမရှင်းပြတတ်လို့လေဥပမာသူကခုနမြင်တာနဲ့သိညာနဲ့အလုံးလုံးတာသူကြည့်နေသူကအလုံးလုံးတာလေးတွေအများကြီးမြင်နေတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့စိတ်ကမြင်နေတာနဲ့
စိတ်ရဲ့ function လို့သ
ိတာပါပါပါလို့သူကဒီပဲတော့ထက်လို့မရတော့ဘူးဆိုတော့စိတ်ကအလုံးလုံးတာမြင်
တာဘာမှမကြည့်တော့ဘူးအဲဒီပဲဘယ်လိုပြောမှမမှန်ဘူ
း Yeah so you know when you were you know like when you asked the question is this the nature of seeing or perceptionSo you mentioned that there are many things happening in the mind and you recognize it. Yes, but you don't have the... So you can see that you are seeing the activities of the mind. You may not have the words to describe it, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
All you need to know is that you see it. That's okay. Enough. Yeah.
Okay.
That's enough.
I mean, I understand.
Okay.
ตัวคอนเซ็ปต์ตัวนี้ใช่มั้ยครับอะอัธุภะเนี่ยแหละครับเจ้าตูอายุที่น้าเลยใช่มั้ยครับตัวอติขันธ์เนี่ยตบอสรว่าโอ้น้าเลยล่ะถ้า understanding ตัดแล้ว
สุเสียรู้ talking about one of the natures of the object again for example he says when there's thought then we recognize there's thinking and as we walk he says in the beginning when we see thoughts and thinking what we see is instantly the storyThe thought is the story. The thought is the characters and the involvement of ourselves and so on. But as we continue to allow ourselves to observe and recognize there is thinking, this is thinking, it can get to the point where you realize this is an object because it's being observed. It suffers being observed and therefore it's an object. And understanding that is understanding the nature of how what an object is. It just has to suffer being observed.
Two nature here.
So there's always these two natures, that of being known, of having to be only known, and that of knowing. He says, so just pertaining to thought, then if we see this nature of thought, we can see that's one fundamental nature of thought that we've understood, that it is an object. The object nature of thought. And that's not the only nature that belongs to thought, right? Thought is also anatta, thought is also anicca. All this is there, but you could have understood that aspect of its nature. That it's an object. And then you might understand that, oh, this comes and it goes. You know, different aspects of it that we begin to understand.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm hearing you say this. He said, you know what we understand about the three characteristics? We call three characteristics anicca, dukkha, anatta. These are called the three characteristics. They're called the ordinary signs, samanya lakana, ordinary characteristics. Then there is the sabhava lakana, the natural characteristics.
Go by.
It's fundamental. It's
science. Science.
And
lobha lobha to science.
Yeah.
Dota lobha science.
So
go by lakana.
So So the fundamental characteristic of something is something that belongs uniquely to that object. For example, green. Green has its it has its ordinary characteristic, which belongs to everybody, all objects, right? To all objects and all mind, which is everything is anicca dukkha anatta. But there is the fundamental characteristic of each object or mind. So greed has its peculiar characteristics, which is greed has, you know, it has attachment, you know, and that sort of thing.
Sticky.
That sort of thing. And then like anger, you know, has
destroy.
Wants to destroy, push away. So these are the fundamental characteristics, the peculiar ones.
So these things are
So as we observe everything, what we ultimately want to find out is what we can glean from this observation. What does the mind eventually understand about the fundamental nature or characteristic of these experiences of each? For example, we watch anapana for ages. What do we understand about it? What is it like? Do we understand its peculiarities, its behaviors, the way it changes? Do we understand our anapana? How? So that's why the guiding motivation behind our observation is so important. If all we want is to develop peace, we will never understand things because that was not what the mind set out to do. So when we're curious, and we want to actually understand this strange animal, then we look at it quite differently than when we are using it as a tool to be peaceful. Because when we use it as a tool to be peaceful, that's what we will do. We just use it. We're not curious about it. It's like being with a person, and if they're a servant, So that's why the initial goal of samatha is just that. The initial goal is just to develop the peace. Whereas for vipassana, right off from the blocks, you're not there to find peace. So for many meditators, you know, we spend years watching our anapana, our rising, falling, even in vipassana, rising, falling, and we don't understand anything because we never began with a curious outlook. We began thinking we will calm down, we must calm down, if we don't calm down, it's a problem. We think that once we develop the calmness, that's when meditation is happening. That's what we think.
But then it's allowed to start.
What is allowed to start?
Once we're calm, then we're allowed to start the vipassana.
Even when it's not calm, you vipassana can be.
I know that.
But I'm a supporter of
knowledge is not mature. Yes, it's peace is a support to vipassana practice. But he says he wants to emphasize that regardless of whether there's peace or not, vipassana can happen. Vipassana practice can be done.
Yes.
In vipassana, he says, you must always remember there is the mind. When we talk about the mind, there's always the knowing and the known minds, right? So the known minds are the rest of the mind, and they don't have to be calm. It doesn't have to be peaceful. It could be angry, it could be raging. All that can be going on. All that needs to be steady is the knowing. That's the only steadiness you need. The watching mind needs to be steady. That's the main thing. The rest of the mind can do
what you want. If we set out to seek peace.
If we set out to seek peace.
Seek peace or to
look for it.
And fundamentally, he says, for the knowing watching mind, the awareness to be stable, he says right view is what it needs. Right view stabilizes the watching.
Concentration of samadhi does, concentration of kulunye, you know.
What samadhi does, it is calm down the whole of the rest of the mind. Everything else that the mind is experiencing, the happening minds, samadhi calms those down. But right view is only right view is necessary to calm the watching mind.
Able to watch is okay.
Yeah.
Enough to just be able to observe the storm.
Yes, if my view is to look for peace,
yes,
as opposed to the actuality or the true nature of a thing,
yes,
I will only see peace. It's distorted, it's not actual. There is an intervening concept, you know, that I'm seeing. But the actual seeing is the true nature and the actuality of the thing.
I don't get your question. You said if you are seeking peace, then
whatever we are seeking, whether it's peace, tranquility, or whatever, if the view in the mind is that,
is what
it to seek peace or tranquility or whatever.
Yes.
It is not actual nature of the thing. Am I right? It's not the
actual. It will not see the actual nature.
Exactly, because it's biased. It's prejudiced right from the very beginning, my view.
Because
it's colored.
It has a particular goal.
It
only sees through blinkers.
Even
though there might be the rest of it.
Yes, I'm seeing it through my color.
This is not absolute what you said. Although Siano warns people about this, it depends on the wisdom of the mind. Yes, some people have very high natural innate wisdom that even though they're just trying to calm the mind, the realizations hit them. It hits. So you're trying to, that person is just doing a simple listening and the realizations about the nature of this thing just come because their mind works like that. For some of us, the mind doesn't work like that. Then he has to remind
us.
So it really depends on the mind's innate wisdom. What we already have.
Each person is different.
And also,
And
then there's the parami, right? Parami of what we have perfected in the past, the momentum of that, when it's going to come to fruition, and so on, if we give it the opportunity.
Each person is different.
So everybody is different.
So, in the view of the formula in the formula.
So he's not like churning out formulas, you know, but he's just warning us about general things that happen to us, general
formulation.
Sometimes he might give an instruction to one yogi and then something else to another yogi, and it might seem contradictory, but it might just be because of the different ways their minds work. So something has to suit that person's nature and what that person's mind needs. There was a yogi who, you know, because we all listen to each other's interviews, and he was giving advice to another yogi. So this person was listening and decided to try it, and then whatever he was experiencing got worse. It wasn't right.
Medicine, but where are you?
Wrong medicine.
Yes, could I ask what Rolf Seiler thinks of intuition and mindfulness and wisdom?
Intuition, great area. Intuition is another. Intuition, the D net, D.
Yeah,
never. Intuition, the ba. Rolf Seiler, tu ma baniashile.
The ဒီနေ့နေတဲ့လူကကြာတယ်ဒီအဲ့ဘောတဘာဝလက္ခဏာများများသိတာတဲ့လူကနားလေတာဉာဏ်ဉာဏ်အကောင်းလာတဲ့လူကဟု
တ်တယ်အဲ့တော့အကြောင်းချိုးရမြင်တ
ော့ဉာဏ်ပြရ
He says
ဖြစ်တော့မယ်ဆိုတာဒီ
He believes
နေချင်းအများကြီးရှိတယ်ဆိုတာအချို့သူတေးချတယ
်ဘာလဲဆရာတော်ပြေးကြည
့်ဟောတွေးကြည့်လာတယ်ပြေးကြည့်လာတယ်တွေးကြည့်ပြေးကြည့်လာတယ်မှာ
Sarah says when there's a lot of awareness, when there's been a lot of awareness and a lot of wisdom has been developed, particularly when the wisdom has become very detailed, it sees a lot of cause and effect. It sees the interrelationships between mind and work, mind's functions. It sees the ramifications of, because it already understands how this could affect that in different scenarios as well. Once that sort of detailed understanding is there, he says, then it's you. He says you might almost call that an intuition because the mind can see ahead. It can see that in the nature of normal minds, which don't have any control over themselves, then this is the way things tend to happen. Then.His teacher had the saying that a wise person, he says, would think about something, it will be more accurate than if you ran there to look at it. Because it understands so well the nature of mind and the way everything interacts. And he says you could call that intuition. It just knows ahead so clearly because it knows this is how things work. It's not an out of the blue feeling.He's talking about really understanding. So when someone has a lot of experience, then they can almost predict. Yeah.
But sometimes we're not aware of where it's coming from. Yes. You know, just know that something's right or wrong, or you do this or not.
Yeah. Well, you're right. The children, you know, I don't know. The little young man.အော်အသေးစိတ်နားမလဲဘူးအသေးစိတ်ဒါအကြောင်းချုပ်တာအကြောင်းချုပ်နားမလဲပဲနဲ့ဒါမဲ့ကိုကဘာကြောင့်လဲမသိဘူးဥပမာတစ်ခုဒါမကောင်းဘူးပဲလို့ကိုထင်တယ်ဥပမာအမွင့်ဒါကောင်းမှာပဲ
စိတ်မှာသူ
့စိတ်မှာ
စိတ်ကသူ့လို့သူ့လို့ထားပြီးလား
ဒါမဲ့ကိုကမသိ
ဘူးတာကိုမသိလိုက်တာကိုကတတိမသိတော့မသိဘူးစိတ်ကသူ့လို့သူ့လို့ဆ
ီယာရိုဆစ် very often for that sort of thing he says it could just be a lack of awareness of the mind at work so the mindNo thought arises on its own. There's always something that give rise to it. And then we already have been an understanding of the many ramifications of a particular thing that gave rise to a feeling about it. Bits of information that we didn't even realize we gathered. And that may give rise to that intuition. But he says in the mind it already has information that we may not know it has.Because we don't know our minds very well or very deeply, but the mind is constantly doing its own work. So there's a lot
of intuition.
So then it feels like with the intuition, like it's just come out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the fundamental level, he's saying that nothing comes out of the blue. There is something in there that's a process that's already taking place.
So how come
I
be aware of
that process?
Yes.
The more you watch your mind, the more you slowly sort of start to see what's behind all that. So it just takes a lot of practice, you know, just always trying to recognize everything the mind is, you know, everything the mind thinks and does, how it colors and shades and, you know,everything and then the more you watch the more you know you start to recognize new little things
and then he
says for example in our roomYou know, most things are where they always are. We're so familiar with it, and we go and we, you know, our glass is always here. And then we do these things all the time, he says, and our mind remembers these things. But we don't recognize that the mind does these things. So when you switch off the light, you can still find your way around your room. You don't bang into the dresser or your bed. He says, but we didn't see the mind doing all that. But there must be some level of awareness that, you know, that the mind has that memory. Yeah.
He says, so
if someone is quite aware, he says, they will know where things are in the room. He says, and if someone is actually aware of their mind, he says, then the whole process of why they remember becomes even clearer. Because they saw the mind always doing this. They saw the mind remembering things. Because that's what the mind is doing all the time. And then, you know, if you're that mindful, then he says, if something new comes in your room, you notice immediately. If something's missing, you notice immediately. Because the presence... And if we're always aware of seeing as well, that also supports that. We'll notice, like, if we watch the mind, how even when we walk upstairs, every step the mind gauges how far it should move. Every step. Yeah. The mind is always working.
He says if we
walk up the same stairs every day and it becomes a habit, and if someone puts an extra step, like an extra inch on one of the steps, we'll definitely bang into it. Because the mind's remembered where it's supposed to be. Because every day, whether we're conscious or not, the mind thinks about it and does it. Yeah.
I have two questions. Two parts to each question. The first, is mindfulness a function of awareness, within awareness? How is mindfulness different from awareness?
He doesn't talk about them differently. So mindfulness and awareness he doesn't differentiate. These are just words.
Awareness, mindfulness, observing, watching.
Is mindfulness choice within awareness? Is mindfulness a choice? Volition? Is mindfulness a volition, a choice within awareness?
Intention.
I would tell you not to separate the two words. Don't think of mindfulness as something separate from awareness.
Somebody do talk mindfulness, somebody do awareness.
It's just whichever word suits the person. Some people find when they say they're mindful that they're doing it. Some people find when they use mindfulness they're too tense, so they prefer the word awareness, it makes them feel
more
relaxed. Some people prefer observing. He's had one monk where he had to say listen to your mind, then the person could see. You know, so different things, so don't...
English is not very
good. The second part of this one is, in terms of choosing the right object, I noticed in one practice yesterday, when the body had settled, the mind became aware of a more subtle level of tension in the body.
Yes.
It noticed that that affected the breath, it noticed that that affected... there was some tension in the brain. There were different effects.
Yes.
And then the thinking process made a decision.
Yes.
So the thought process started. Yes. Made a decision to relax that level of tension.
Yes.
To investigate underneath.
Yes.
There are so many things going on.
You can only notice everything that's going on.
How to choose the right object in the middle of...
You use the word notice.
Yes.
So in your case, actually, your noticing is the mindfulness. Okay.
ဒီကနေ့ကတော့အများကြီးတည်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ကတော့တော့တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒါအထုတ်တော့မှန်တယ်မိုင်းကိုလို့ပုံလို့တော့ယက်အဲဒီထားမိတဲ့အထက်မှာ तू တင်းနေဝဲဝဲလေးတန်ချန်ရှိတာတွေ့တယ်ဒီဟာစိတ်ကိုဘယ်လိုထိရောက်တယ်ခန္ဓာကိုယ်ဘယ်လိုထိရောက်တယ်
And within that, does thinking, as long as it's not too much, have a useful part to play?
Yeah. Yes. Tua era di di lo nie de kha ma tu tu sik ka nan nan twei de le di lo le lo chi me ho de era taik taw mya yin ma ho da
le da lo de tu a sa ko phit de
yes
di tu a ma lo shin yin awareness ta po pyo a kaung
yes you're exactly right not too much thinking but when the thought process is to support the awareness the noticing how you want to direct it gently yes not control it too much at the same time you need to have a sense of direction sometimes the mind forgets how what else to do so like you did just now you thought okay I'll relax it a little bit and then investigate further that sort of thinking is necessary
the detail that I come kiri da pitade kuna nya le pitade
and then when you have these thoughts that direct you he says you can also notice like some of it is wise as in your case sometimes it's not wise when as in when it thinks it needs to choose something so it's very important to recognize them so that you can then choose whether this is possibly doing the right thing or the wrong thing and even if you did the wrong thing at least you know you made the choice and now it's wrong so next time you won't make the choice so learn from it you know what I mean so it needs to be there if you don't think you can't have this process of learning as well
Supervisor, very important. If you know supervisor worker is boom, 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 boom.
Understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supervisor, I go on, wisdom, defilement of supervisor.
Yeah, he says the supervisor could be wisdom or the defilement. The supervisor could be wisdom or a defilement.
Yes.
Yeah, so you need to watch out and learn which one is wisdom, which one is defilement, as you see the effects.
So you know what I mean?
He says when we're told not to think in meditation, then he said we've also basically told the supervisor take a break. Yeah. Yeah, I mean when we cut out the supervisor, we then cut out both a bad and a good supervisor.
Mm.
So you need to allow it to learn which is good and which is not.
So is it a fair way to summarize your practice at a very basic level that to be constantly asking ourselves what is happening in the mind right now? What is the mind knowing? How is the mind reacting?
Reminding is very
necessary.
Especially when we don't have momentum. And then the defilements are always wanting to do things, so they're always there. So only when we remind ourselves to then become aware of the defilements or whatever.
And then if you're trying, say if you're thinking about something, maybe you're focusing on a problem, you're working out maybe some looking at a logical problem
yes.
or making a detailed plan or something.
Yes.
Should you also at the same time be aware of some part of the mind? Or is that not taking away from the power of the mind trying to focus in on some problem?
A little bit, yeah. အလုပ်ကိုတေချာလုပ်လို့မရဘူး။အဲ့လိုမျိုးတွေကြတော့ဟောရဲ
။အဲ
့ဒါအချိန်ရှိပါရဲ့
။မကြွကျင်သေးလို့ပါ။စိတ်ကိုရှုတယ်။အားထုတ်တဲ့နေရာမကြွကျင်သေးလို့။ skip မဖြစ်သေးဘူးဒီလိုပဲ
။
ကိုယ်ကဒီဘက်ကိုအာယုံနဲ့ပို့လိုက်တယ်။အထက်ကိုထည့်လိုက်တယ်အပြင်လုံးလုံးမြင်တော့အပြင်မြဲမြဲတောက်လိုက်တယ်အထက်ကမသိတော့ဘူ
း။ Yeah, he says this is something that comes with skill. Skill meaning lots of practice. Initially he says of course yes when we put all our minds completely inside us, we can't concentrate on things outside. When we put it completely outside, we can't really be aware inside. But he says, initially, we might not be able to do it when we need to concentrate on something like work or problem or logical thing. But what we do is we practice outside of that, whenever we can practice. And when that momentum builds up, sometimes we find that it sort of kicks in naturally when we're doing something we're really absorbed in. It just sort of comes in. And that will start to increase as well, so long as you keep practicing
steadily. ဒါပေမဲ့တရားသမားကြတော့သူကဒီစိတ်ကြီးလုံနေတာကိုပြန်မြင်ရုံနဲ့မြင်တာ
။
အဲ့ဒါလေးပဲအချက်လို့
။ဒါ
ပေမဲ့အချက်အပစ်လို့
။ He says when we need to do a piece of work, just do it. We have to allow ourselves to do the work fully. He says but when in the times when you're able to practice more freely, if your part of the practice is to know what's going on in the mind and how the mind is doing things, like, oh, the mind is thinking about this so that it can do that, the mind is, you know, thinking in this way so that it can, when your habit is to notice the mind's, the mind functioning or the mind at work, then you'll notice that when you let yourself do some work, and because it's a habit of the mind to recognize itself doing work, you'll sort of start popping up. You're doing something very concentratedly, you'll sort of notice it's doing it concentratedly. It will just come in naturally, but you have to allow that to happen
all the time.
So when we have a consistent practice that, you know, constantly reminds and remembers and knows mind at work, he says then it gets to the point where he uses the word effortless. Because it becomes so familiar with itself, so intimate with itself. It always is with itself and it likes being with itself. So he says, you know, you do, then you, that's when, you know, it allows the mind to do anything because it doesn't mind. It's always with itself. So that's why the Buddha said to practice constantly, continuously. The word used is continuously. And although in the beginning it's difficult, any amount of effort we put towards it, brings momentum that makes it more effortlessly continuous in the future. So every He said there was a yogi the last time he was in Perth, asked him a question about this sort of thing, and he said, do it 50-50, he said at that time. And then the yogi was a psychiatrist, so he started thinking about what Seattle was saying, and thinking, how do you measure? He says he thought about it and he realizes it's not so much 50-50. Basically, you allow the mind to do its work naturally, and if it's very practiced, then the knowing of itself is also, it also happens naturally. Then you're 100% with your work while that one does its own thing.
In Seidel's book, the latest one, there's a little part on faith. He more or less said, confidence in yourself and faith in the practice. I suppose faith in the practice is the efficacy of the practice.
Yes.
That's what he would mean by faith.
The understanding of the value of the practice for ourselves. So when we begin to feel that the practice has a value in our lives, that's when our faith in the practice grows, and that supports us to keep practicing. So how we benefit from the practice is something that is also is a part of the wisdom that must grow in the mind. Understanding how we benefit from the practice, we have to recognize these benefits for ourselves.
I wanted to wonder, to go even further in the sense of, you know, faith in whatever life gives to you. You know, to have faith in that.
Yes.
So that
that's faith in kind of like anatta already.
Yeah.
In a principle, yeah. That life is how it is.
By going through the practice to be able to
get to that.
So yeah, to say that the faith is acceptance in everything that comes to you in life.
Yeah.
And to go even further is to say with gratitude.
Mm.
Now, I mean, I personally find that quite difficult, but that's not the point. I find it's very important for me in my life.
To you know,
so I just sort of, yes, to take it one step at a time, because that's the way it seems to be moving.
Yes.
And I feel this is such a practical practice.
Yes.
That everything that it has to be really something that affects me in my everyday life.
Yeah.
And this is how it's been moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know whether, you know, that acceptance or trying to, not trying maybe so hard, but it's a matter of, knowing.
Remembering that.
Knowing that it is true, because life is constantly showing. It's such a terrific balance, because there's sometimes horrific things. And while these horrific things are taking place, there's all those little sparks of joy, which we can quite miss when we're totally taken up with difficult things.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, if there's acceptance,
yes.
It makes, well, you say, well, that's the way things are. I don't need resignation.
No.
It's just really, this is the way things are.
So that's and the faith.
That's the, that's the faith. Is that
yes,
the faith?
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Not to mute the doubt in your now, so ဘာလို့ဖြစ်ဖြစ်အရင်လက်ခံနိုင်တယ်ဒီဟာပေါ်မှာတရားရှိတယ်သူကဖြစ်တဲ့လိုပဲဖြစ်တယ်သူအကောင်ဆုံးဖြစ်တယ်ရဲ့လို့လည်းမဟုတ်ဟိုနားလည်နေလို့ဟုတ်အဲဒါပေမဲ့ဒါအထုံးဘဝနေဖြစ်တာလေအဲ့တော့ကိုကနေနေစဉ်နေတိုင်းဖြစ်တဲ့ဟာတွေကိုကဒါဖြစ်ပါစေဖြစ်ပါစေဒီဟာလက်ခံတဲ့ယေရှုရောင်တင်ရတယ်ယေရှုရောင်ရှိပြီတတ်တယ်သူတွတ်ကြတယ်ခင်ဗျားအားလုံးကကိုယ့်အတွက်
Yes,
there was someone who had been practicing for a long, long time, and then and then the person, and he said to Sierra, he'd been practicing so long, he felt so much confidence in the practice that he says he didn't feel anything was a problem. Something could hit him, it could be a big thing, but he had the confidence that he'd have the view, the means to either view it rightly or deal with it rightly in the right way, be able to accept how it will be. So it wasn't a problem. It would not be a problem. He felt that confident in the practice that he'd be able to approach anything.
Now,
And he said this person was understanding. He said one of the things he understood was, you know, he says whenever he watched the defilement, he's so practiced that when he watches defilements, they soon fade away. And the understanding of how much that relieves him of the suffering that might follow if he had not been aware. Because he was aware, he reduced his suffering maybe 80%. He only had to suffer for 20% of the time. But if he had not been aware, how much more would the suffering, it may have gone beyond the 100% of time that he might have had to suffer in aware.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're not aware, it might have gone on and on and on. Some of you have heard Sierra's story before, but he's telling it in brief to the others. Sierra had an experience when he was practicing very hard at home, where he exploded. He was a very angry person. He exploded. And he was trying to be very mindful every day at that time.
He'd
been practicing continuously.
Very seriously, like continuously, 1 year, non-stop.
Practice.
Every moment.
Yeah, but like a hermit doesn't mean he stayed at home. He was going to work every day, but he was very in himself. And he, so this incident happened, he exploded. He says, but because he had been trying to be so mindful, he saw the whole chain of events, the things that led to his explosion. And then when he came to, because of, obviously he lost his mindfulness for a moment, when he came to realize how much damage he'd done with how angry he was, because I think he threw a chair against the wall. He punched the wall and blew his and his brother was shocked because he was angry at him.
But when you imagine,
everybody who was there, his mother, his sister, everybody was in a state of shock. He saw how it had affected everyone. There was no happiness. And he was burning. He was literally burning inside, and he saw this, the whole effect. Then he also understood what could have been. He can remember in detail every single thing, every single word said, the feeling that came that led to the explosion and the resultant effects. And he realized where anger starts. It starts from when anger starts from 0 to 1. And because the mind works so fast, it can go from 1 to 1 trillion in a snap. That's when his mind also realized if he wants to stop this effect, this sort of unhappiness.
This is my formula, 0, 1, 0.
He had to recognize anger from when it became just 1. He had to recognize it then and work on it right away, not wait till later to work on it, but work on it right away.
The child look.
Yes. So when he was at work, if he found himself getting tense or angry, he would stop and watch. He watched it like a devil. He would just like watch it until it calmed down. That was his practice. The way he you might say, tried to suppress it. But it's not so much a suppression. He said he was like taking care of it. He would just be so concerned. Is it there? Is it still there? He would make sure he didn't lose sight of it, so it couldn't jump to 1 trillion suddenly.
Has it gone?
much.
He never
exploded like that again. And he said at that time his mind, the wisdom, the mind made a very strong decision. I will never let this happen again. It just decided.
May I ask about Sayadaw happened like 1 year practicing, but Sayadaw practiced very
intensely.
Yeah, and because Sayadaw very level or because you suffering
depressed? Because he was depressed. He was practicing so hard. Initially, when he was very depressed, his motivation for practice was just to relieve himself. Because without the practice, there was no relief. With the practice, there was some relief. So he practiced desperately.
I have no choice.
So he practiced out of desperation. And he couldn't leave the practice because depression was always at his door. So he says, but what happens with constant practice is that, samadhi grows, and when there's samadhi, there's no depression. So it grows. There's the depression, there's the samadhi, and it's slowly growing. He says when they balance off and it exceeds the depression, when the mind's peace gets better, he says that's when the wisdom starts to grow. But for him at that point, the wisdom became very interesting. Everything new that he learned was so interesting. His motivation for practice change from relief to understanding, to curiosity and interest.
아, 이 understanding은 그 불법 생각으로 생각 무배 그 정도예요.
He said he
생각으로 미안해.
Understanding things in ways that he could never have imagined possible. You can't imagine that you would understand something to be this way, or and you see us. Such a different view.
So interesting.
Can I follow that up?
Yes.
Because I think a lot of suffering have very high motivation to practice and to practice intensively. Mm. On the other hand, there are people like me who are basically not unhappy.
Sadhu just wants to add, in his case, he says, by the time he had got into that bad depression, he had been practicing with his for a long time. He knew how to practice well. He already understood things like that greed makes practice go wrong and stuff like that. He understood many things so that his practice was skillful. He knew how to maintain a steady practice if he wanted to, without getting distracted by greed and aversion in the practice, not greed and aversion in the experience, yeah? That he might have, but yeah. But he didn't practice. That was his failure. That's why he got it right. He knew how to
practice.
Yeah. That's why Siano, to your earlier question about whether peace is necessary to practice vipassana, he says no.
I understand that was actually just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
That many meditators had.
Yes.
But no longer.
He was 100% depressed all day long, but he practiced, yes.
So back to this other question, it really is a question of motivation. I mean, if you're not really suffering, what is it that can break through complacency?
Sambhaga.
Something that, you know...
Urgency.
Exactly. How do you...
Oh, don't kind of get what we got at here. Damn it, the child would do what I'm doing. Don't come, I'm sure. Damn it, hey, don't wake up. He said, Samvega is also a kind of wisdom. Urgency. A sense of urgency is also a kind of wisdom, and it can also develop out of the practice itself. Out of the practice itself. Some of the understandings of the fundamental nature or the general, you know, characteristics of, experience can lead to urgency, can lead to a sense that you must finish this path.
He
says, for example, if we understand that experience itself, having to experience, that we can't escape it,
right.
and the very oppressiveness, that we are constantly needled by this having to experience and experience and experience, he said, if we felt that was a dukkha,
yes.
He says, how fast would we run to walk the path?
Pretty fast.
Yeah. So, I mean, all this sort of realization can come about.
Mm. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
You wanted to ask something? Okay. Something?
Yeah. It was about practicing continuously. Last night, I was going to sleep and I was thinking about practicing continuously. So I was watching my mind and watching risings and fallings and things. But I couldn't sleep. I was so tense, not being able to sleep.
Or because
I was practicing, I was trying to practice.
But you were trying to sleep.
And I was trying to sleep at the same time. So I decided that I couldn't practice anymore, that I had to sleep. And I stopped practicing. But So the question I'm asking is, what does practice continuously mean, especially even, you know, like in that state of going to sleep?
Okay. So Seattle said just now, he says, there are a couple of possibilities. One, you might be using too much energy to be aware. The second thing is the desire to sleep. Don't want to sleep, just practice.
Mm.
If you don't want to sleep, you won't be tense. If you don't worry that you'll be tired, you won't be tired.
Mm.
So just let yourself practice and relax. So you may fall asleep then, and if you don't fall asleep, you don't worry. Because it doesn't matter if you sleep or not, you will still be fresh in the morning because you are aware.
If you want to sleep, it becomes anxiety.
The anxiety makes you tired and
more,
intense.
The mind more not cannot stable, cannot sleep. Difficult. So don't try to sleep. And don't try to go to the toilet. Sitting by the sleep, toilet seat, the body know how to go. Don't push too much. Let the nature walk. But some effort too much, no good.
May
I ask about Sanyana? Can you explain more about five Indriya for Setta, Sati, for
balance?
How
to balance? Yeah, for balance. 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 Balance.
How to balance the five faculties? First, you have to recognize the five faculties at work in your mind. First, you have to see, you have to be able to recognize, oh, this part of my mind, this is the feeling that, this is the faith. This is the wisdom, this is the samadhi, this is the stability, and so on. And then you have to be able to see, oh, when the mind is like this, when the faculties are in this state, the experience is experienced this way. And when the faculties are in this state and it feels like this, this is the experience that is experienced. And when you see this many, many times, you will start to realize the relationship of the experience to the state of the faculties. Then you can try to tune your faculty, or if you're able to tune it, or if the mind understands and recognizes this sort of thing is not helpful, if there's understanding, you will also automatically tune the faculty. So all that comes from your practice itself. You can't, there's no formula to, like, oh, I have to do this, you know, no injection.
For me, I find myself I have a lot of, like, focus or samadhi, something like this. But I am very weak about satta. For satta, for my practicing, I confident.
Yes.
But for like chanting or
maybe something.
I am weak about satta.
Yes.
Satta weak. Then
then. To atta mu say atta ne. That means throughout the Tao, who to atta mu the Tao, to sit down and When Siyama talks about sadda, he's not talking about sadda on the Buddha and the practice, the peripheral practices. He says, when he talks about sadda initially, he's just talking about sadda in the practice. Sadda in the practice. Sadda, the desire to practice, the interest in the practice, that's the sadda he's talking about. He says, when your practice grows, you get a lot of benefit from the practice, then the other saddas will grow. You become grateful to the Buddha, you want to offer some flowers, maybe you want to do some chanting, but that's not essential, you know, in the beginning or in the practice. So your experience will teach you how to balance your practice. That's why you have to see how your mind is working. Your experience must teach you when you put in too much effort, what's the result? And then when you relax, what's the result? You have to find out for yourself so you find out what's right for you.
I'm wondering about how the practice helps with everyday life. So when I've been doing my practice in the last day, some unresolved issues and regrets came up.
Yes.
And that need to be dealt with and that need closure. I'm just wondering whether...
Sorry, could you repeat that last line?
Unresolved regrets
Yes, and then you said?
Of that need to be dealt with, and that need closure, that need to be dealt with, basically. So how does the practice, the Vipassana, the mindfulness, help to deal with things out in the world that we've done, you know, that we realize, or that's plaguing us in our practice that doesn't help us to, you know, is the defilement that keeps on stopping because it's just heavy. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To what do you get by my atomic or to a yen one to look at an energy, where I say to Nam Daya, I say to pick at I to D Kisali to deal with no pollution, to share and to Sikama,
Shama,
Dad, and Bora. Never to go at all. But one ma, D Hari, Dilu Yuri, go at Shama, Atom, Obolo, don't rush Sham, let it. Never go about Tapiolas of Answer or it. D Hari, Atom, Darby, the lower. Atom, Darby, the
lower.
D said, you know, kill it, I feel it. Atom, what, but don't tell you what.
And also, because that will be objective.
So these defilements, the thoughts that come up in your mind, he says, yes, they are a hindrance. They call them a hindrance, defilement. But he says, you have to use the hindrance as a stepping stone. So there's a block of stone in front of you, is blocking your way. Learn to use it, step on it, and get on with it. So you have to use it as an object. So it becomes what you observe. So this is the right view, yeah, the right attitude. Not thinking of it as a hindrance, but thinking of it as an object. And then remember, this object is not personal. It's not my problem, It's a thought that keeps coming into the mind. There are causes that have led to this situation where this thought will keep coming up in the mind. It's not your fault. Things have been done, there's a cause.
Yeah, conditioning.
This effect will happen. This is the condition. You can't run away from it. So it's again not personal, not your problem. Yeah? It's just how it is. So in the present moment, your responsibility is to think about this in the right way. Memories will come. Memories are memories. But if we can have the right view towards it, if we can begin to understand the nature, its nature, that is just a memory and not personal, we can actually just work with it and then not develop more defilements because of it. So it's there, it's a defilement, but we don't have another defilement because of it. It just remains as it is. It's an object, you observe it, that's all. We can't erase our memories, not even till we die.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Memory, just memory. Memory is nothing.
On from that, isn't it the habitual pattern and condition of the mind that's created the situation that's become the memory? So isn't it important to be aware of the habitual conditioning we have?
Just currently, di achi ni yao gua chou haria gua si ye achi ni mo gu ye achi ni. Habitual conditioning, to the degree that we are able, we slowly work backwards. So, but for her in the present moment, because it's just the beginning, she just deals with it by trying to inject right view so that she can not proliferate more defilements. But eventually when she's able to observe it, then she has to go back to why it's like that now. What are the conditions that brought, that came to this?
Investigate.
What is this?
Why is this happening?
Yeah. How to correct it.
That was the part that I was talking about, how to correct it. So you need to understand, what is this? Why did it happen?
Right.
And then go back to the source and deal with it. Because you said, not my problem.
Yes.
It might not be my problem, but if I had a lot of people doing whatever I did,
yeah.
Is it not my problem to go back and to...
Okay, I must at this point, caveat, when I say it's not my problem, it doesn't mean it's somebody else's problem. I mean it in the sense that it's not personal. The process that has happened is not of, it's not owned by me, it doesn't belong to me, it's just a process. But the answers to why it's happening and, you know, how you can correct it is in your own mind. It's not somebody else's problem, again. So there's, it doesn't mean it's somebody else's problem. I do want to make that clear, yeah.
Sarah
wants to tell you a story about a yogi he met, and this yogi had a lot of abuse when he was very badly abused when he was young in many ways, and he had a lot of trauma. Every time he went for a retreat, after, once his mind had calmed down a little bit, all his trauma would come up. He would remember the memories, he would suffer from them, he would feel shame, humiliation, guilt, everything. And he could, and then he would just break down because it was just too much. And he wanted to tell Siano, and Siano had been talking about the fact that in the instructions that day, he'd been talking about the fact that a feeling is just a feeling, that, you know, a thought is just a thought and stuff like that. And then we had the interview, and then got to his turn, and then he wanted to tell Siano his story. And Siano's thing is always to not tell the story, because he believes that stories, because they're concepts, it just stirs up the... So he didn't... Siano said, there's no need to tell me the story. Just tell me, you know, what it is you're having to deal with right now. And he still wanted to tell his story, but he didn't. He didn't tell the story. And then there was a whole room full of people, right?
So,
he says, the yogi also, later on, the next interview the yogi recollected is that generally he would always tell the Dhamma teacher his story, because once he told it, he would feel some relief. But that day he felt a bit reticent. It wasn't a private interview and so on as well. And Tiara had said, there's no need to tell the story, so he didn't. But when he, after the interview, he was walking down from, because it's in the mountains, he was walking down. And as he was walking down, he was kicking himself for not telling Siano the story. He was like, why didn't I tell Siano the story? And he was, and so he was being mindful as well as this thought process going through the mind. And then his, and then he said to himself, so what, you know, if I told Siano, what would he have said anyway? So he, and for him, it became a very important turning point, that question, the introduction of the question, when he had said to himself, what would Siano have said anyway? And then, of course, immediately what Siano had been teaching, that it came into mind. And he was still suffering from what he was feeling, because, you know, the thoughts had followed him, and he was, and then he remembered Siano said, a feeling is just a feeling. And he said, suddenly, like a flash, everything he was feeling became just that. He was just a feeling. It wasn't his. It didn't own him any. He didn't.
Memory, just feeling.
He said he felt so free. He was shocked. And so the next interview, he came and told Seattle this. He was very happy. Yes.
Kitchen says lunch will be only at 11:15.
11:15. Lunch is only 11:15.
I'd like to ask about the value of prayer and devotion. Over the course of many years in Buddha Dharma, I've had many different experiences of healing or remarkable experiences or insight.
Yes.
Sometimes associated with my teacher, sometimes associated with prayer.
Yes.
But that's one
thing. Why do you say associated with your teacher?
When in retreat with my teacher, sometimes I would experience states that were not due to my work or my insight. A transmission is a word that's used sometimes. Yes. Transmission.
Why do you attribute it to a transmission?
Transmission from the wisdom mind of one being to
another. Yes, why do you attribute it to a transmission?
That's
what you've been told.
That's the terminology that's used. That's the understanding that's
with that teacher. Okay, yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
In the last
and
year,
and then with prayer, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the last year, I've been doing some practice with a sangha, which is not Buddhist, I find it interesting. They regard the brain functions, mental functions, knowledge, and understanding not so highly.
Yes.
Their practice is primarily awareness of the heart.
Yes.
With gratitude and love, relaxing, letting go, and opening.
Yes.
In their view, awakening is attained better by being in the heart with love and gratitude and opening to what they would regard as universal mind.
Yes.
This involves prayer, either spoken or felt.
Okay.
And also in Buddha Dharma, there's metta practice and yes. So on. Could I ask about this, please? As far as how does this relate to the progress of awakening in this tradition?
Great. Can I just ask some background?
Yeah.
What have you practiced before?
20 or 30 years of Buddha Dharma with a teacher, Western teacher trained in Burma as a monk.
Okay.
And recognized by His Holiness Kamapa as a. So he taught from Theravada and Vajrayana both.
Okay.
For many years. He died 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay. To Dihal Maitine, experienced devotee, Atomu Yalomo, Tuapiora, to Atho Tatama, the prayers of Abulopiora. So, prayer and devotion, Tua Sutam Nopiora, Abulukomla, yeah. Dihao Gono Boria, the volume, and that is the one, who the
one.
Prayer together. Devotion jara. Da ko yote yongji laser chicken. Hello, you mo hello. Ella jara. Ella tu apio re tu ato ba di di na kune tu miai. เมียนมุเรตะชั่วหลูเรยอะฮีลิ่งโยคะเปี่ยวตาโนนะเพราะตูโกราเลญาณีผิดตาโนแต่แม้ตูว่าไอ้ญาณีผิดตารูปารูโอตูว่าassociated with the ญาณโตโมดีโกโนปวามุดีดาปวามุเนี่ยปัตตะไปแล้วผิดแต่รู้ว่าตะบี้เราไปบาผิดโหลดีญาณผิดตาเอาแหละดีตะยอกๆเนี่ยไซน์ไปแล้วยะเลยโตขึ้นมาแล้วสรุป ตัวรอดอะไรเนี่ยตัวรอดอะไรเนี่ยดีเสียแม่ชื่อเนี่ยคำว่าไอ้เสียตัวเนี่ยโมโก้ไปกูทรานสมิชั่นอะไรเนี่ยลงไปลงไปลงไปลงตัวอะไรอยู่ทางไหนบ่นั่นเพราะดีดีระดับวาระขาดจะรอดเลยตัวดีน้องส่งตัดเนี่ยมาตัวไอ้ระดับวาระเราเนี่ยอะไรเนี่ยบ่ตัวรอดอะกูตัวรอดเนี่ย จะช้าอัตโนมัติบ่ได้บ่ต้องตัวเราอยู่ซะเลยสรุปสิ้นซ้ายเนี่ยอันเนี่ยโหบางนามเนี่ยเนี่ยโหตัวเราก็ตัวเราสิ้นซ้ายเนี่ยโหอยู่ในอินเทลลิเจนซ์ก็ไปอยู่แล้วโหสิ้นซ้ายเนี่ยอัตเวดอตัวเราอยู่ซะตัวเราก็เพียงสรุปดีเส้นน้องๆเนี่ยล่ะเนี่ยหาลูกได้โห กรุณาเสียงกรุณาเสียงเนี่ยกรุณาเสียงเนี่ยเอ๊ะเราดูเอ๊ะเรามาตัวเดียวเมียเมียพ่อเองหัวเนี่ยมาเลยคือเรื่องว่าสมัยจะปูมีเมียมาเรื่องตีเนี่ยกว่าเสียสมัยก่อนเออแล้วดีพยายามที่จะมาเอาบ่ได้มาแต่มาเอาดีฮารีเนี่ยพี่ปูเนี่ยพี่ปูจะนี่ไปยังปูตัวอุณาปูเมียมาเรื่องตีเนี่ยสุดาเนี่ยเราตัว
อยู่แล้วบ่บ่รู้ล่ะจังสิแหละดีๆโหเออแต่ว่าเนาะผู้สึกอ่ะมีคุณธรรมดาเนี่ยโหนี่ตัวเราก็ที่สึกกว่าเนี่ยมีแต่นะอืมที่สึกอัปปิลานี่เบลัสยาตัวนี้นี่ญาติว่าจังปิสงนี้ตัวเนี่ยตาเนี่ยอายุเยอะมากครับครับแล้วอยู่ตรงนี้ก็ทําให้มันทุกข์ก็เสียไปรู้มาทําไปรู้เนี่ยที่สึกก็อัปปิมาที่สึกเนี่ยตาเนี่ยอายุเยอะอยู่เยอะ
It would be interpreted in the Buddhist way would be to say that prayer and devotion are also qualities of mind that cultivate goodness in the mind. And as he said in yesterday's interview, the object that the mind is able to take is only the object that matches the purity of the mind. Yes, the purity and power of the mind. So the mind that is pure and powerful is able to see an object that matches itself in power and purity. If the mind is not that pure, it cannot see that pure an object. So because he was talking about Nirvana, so it's only a mind that matches the purity and power of Nirvana that can experience it. Yes? So in that sense, the place of of prayer and devotion is that if it's practiced correctly, then it brings purity and clarity to the mind, so that the hope is, I mean, even in Buddhism there are examples of stories of, you know, people who became enlightened because of piti. Piti is again the because prayer and devotion are both related to saddha. So this person, because of his saddha, he had so much piti that he became enlightened because he suddenly saw clearly, because the mind had become that pure and clear, yes, and had that power to them. So that's how it's related. But Seattle does want to say that no mind can transmit anything to you no mind can transmit anything to you. Anything that this mind is able to receive is because of its own power and purity. Yes, that's what this mind receives.
May I please extend the question just a little further?
Sure.
With regard to the practice I've been doing in the last year with non-Buddhist Sangha.
Yes.
Where this is entirely, as I said, knowledge and understanding not regarded, and thinking process not regarded.
Yes.
Just this, just the heart,
yeah.
With relaxation, joy, and the heart, and relying entirely upon transmission from enlightenment universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we
could Sado please comment on what that sort of practice would lead to? What would arise from that sort of practice?
So ตัวอู้อัธรณ์เนี่ยอัธรณ์หมดตะชาเนี่ยเอามาตัวเปล่าตัวว่าสิ้นซ้ายเนี่ยหมดมาเลยเป้งอ่ามาเป็นดีรีแลกซ์ลงตาเนี่ยสิจอยขึ้นตาเนี่ยดีบดาเนี่ยไอ้โหกูว่าดี bawaya, such a bawaya, a tio, go, go tell me, look, let her know what the elbow you sat out, and I'll be looking at you, and it was in pure water. I
don't know what you
want. I'm not a cool of your lawyer, to move your red. This is a young.
ซีต้าเนี่ยน่ะตัวอ๋อบ่าวน่ะเนี่ยบ่าวมันชอบซินซ่าเราเปล่าเออเพราะอินเตอร์เนชั่นแล้วก็ตัวเนี่ยต้องรู้ว่าตัวซินซ่าเนี่ยเนี่ยซินซ่าไม่ใช่ทีนี้ว่าตัวลงดอกเปล่าอ่ะแต่แกรัสเซฟอ่ะอ้ามาทุบลูกสิเนาะดีๆคุณน่ะดูตะทีเนี่ยไม่เล่นล่ะเนาะน้าเลยเนี่ยมาปองๆไม่เล่นล่ะในเนี่ยก็รู้ป่ะถ้าได้รู้ๆเวลาก็จะต้องรู้สิอืมโหเมตตาเราเพียงๆได้นะญาณเราไม่เพียงๆญาณตีไหลน่ะว่าอะไรเนี่ยตะ
Shara says, well, he hasn't done this practice, so he can't comment on it.
Leon, Sahil was talking about this, that somebody can be born with two roots.
Talking about Lobadosa Moha. Yes.
In the
two roots, yes.
Two roots. Now, my understanding was that if there is no delusion, that means your body has got to nibbana.
It's the non-delusion. You don't have non-delusion. The roots are non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. So if you don't have non-delusion, you have delusion.
The wholesome roots he's talking about.
Yeah.
Be born without that wholesome root. You're in trouble.
Yeah. Nalong says, Nalong says, Sega to do well.